You are listening to Studio BBQ. I'm Leung Chi Wo, and today we have Vanessa McCrae, and manager from the Institute of Modern Art in Brisbane. And hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Warren. How are you?
Very good. Now you're in Hong Kong. And how long have you been here already?
I've been in Hong Kong for 8 weeks. Yeah, I came over on the 30th of September to do an AsiaLink residency based at Videotage, a new media arts organization. And AsiaLink is a well-known organization in Australia, and they send artists, arts managers across all the arts forms to places throughout Asia to be hosted in organizations. So it's a cultural exchange. So I think there's about 20 people a year that are sent around Asia. And so we have, for example, I'm at Videotage at the moment, and there's a poet being hosted by Macau University. So it's across the spectrum. There's dancers, curators, artists, writers.
I'm not sure if I'm wrong, but as far as I remember, something like 10 years ago, I saw more people coming to Hong Kong for the AsiaLink, and then it was so quiet for quite some time, and I just could remember when was the last time I met the AsiaLink grantee here in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, there has been a long history of people actually coming to Hong Kong, and the Fringe Club has hosted people. They actually hosted a old IMA staff member that I think that was about in 2000. Last year there was a resident at Videotage as well, so there has been. And so it just probably depends what organisation, because maybe you haven't come across the people that are maybe working. Well, not in the visual arts, because
right.
they may have been working more theatre and performing arts management than the visual arts.
Yeah.
But there certainly has been a lot of people here.
Okay, now everybody's going to China. Why you chose Hong Kong?
Ah, yeah, everyone's going to China. Now, why I chose Hong Kong? Well, the AsiaLink residency was actually already established with Videotage.
Okay.
And I was interested in Videotage because it's a new media arts organization, and it also has a long history, working here in Hong Kong. And I was interested in how they programmed their new media without really having an exhibition space, and how they respond to the local community here. So I was coming from the point of view of trying to find out more about how organizations actually program content.
Did you meet people from Videotage before you came?
No. Unfortunately, I'd been to Hong Kong on my way back from Korea a few years ago, and I had a very brief two-day stopover, and I didn't get out to the cattle depot. So actually, it was interesting because my because Videotage had been established for so long, and of course, Alan Pao had and we knew of her work, well, I know of her work in Australia, and she's worked with a few of my colleagues as well. So, yeah, I was keen to come over here, and also the fact that Hong Kong is not really renowned as an international centre for contemporary art. And I'm interested in what happens on, you know, outside those centres, because I know, I think it's an absolute myth that, you know, you've got... one core, kind of like everything happens in New York or London, and so I'm kind of, you know, interested in seeking out what's happening in the quieter places and where perhaps not everyone's visiting, and so that's really why I chose Hong Kong, and I wanted to come here, and of course also the fact that there's not really a huge language barrier.
Right.
I've travelled throughout China. I spent a month travelling from southern China up to Beijing about 3 years ago.
Right.
And it's hard work when you don't speak the language. And because you're only here for 2 months, you know, and you want to get the most out of it. So it has been, I suppose, good coming to
you. I'm just curious, did you make a second choice or third choice in your application?
I think I did, but I can't remember which one. Because, you know, they send people to Japan. I think there was uh-huh. a gallery in Japan.
So anyway, you didn't choose Video Touch.
No, I did choose Video Touch.
Oh, you did?
I wanted to come to Video Touch.
But you said that they actually established a link between Video Touch.
Yes, so it's already, I mean, you could apply for any residency because there's established residency.
All right.
So, I mean, there's not a huge, there might only be a couple
all right.
to choose from.
Uh-huh.
So out of that, I did choose Video Touch.
Right.
But also, you can submit your own application as well. If you already have connections with an organization, you could ask to be supported to go and work in that organization. So there are self-initiated residencies as well.
So what did you hear about Hong Kong before you came?
What did I hear about Hong Kong before I came?
An expectation.
Well, you know, it's a big city. And, well, I heard some quite negative things about, in terms of the
art. I think it's really bad here.
Like, let's be, the first thing that people said to me, why are you going to Hong Kong? There's no art there. The best art that you can see from China is in New York. And I actually don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it hasn't been like a complete, you know, stumbling across amazing exhibitions and work every day that I've been here. It has been hard.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the work that I have seen, I think that it's great. And then I've seen some really bad work too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my first few weeks here were difficult because, you know, I suppose I wasn't being selective in where I was going. So I was just going to every kind of gallery or exhibition or... And I did start to despair. And I suppose it's like at home, you need to be selective in where you put your energies.
Right.
And what actually interests you. But what happened with Videotage is that I was actually invited to work with them on a project before I arrived. And it was quite close to my arrival, and it was the October Contemporary project where...
it's something new in Hong Kong.
Yeah, and I think that has a fantastic future. I mean, if they build upon what was started this year. And so Ashley Wong, who's the program manager at Videotage, contacted me to ask about some of my ideas. And so, you know, the idea of a game was what the theme. And so Ashley and I discussed some artists. I selected some Australian artists. And Ashley selected a few Hong Kong artists. And we looked at artists using old technologies in new ways. So obsolete technology. So I chose Lawrence English, and he did a wall of sound, it's called, and it's old vinyl records, and he's taken made a sound piece from some of those vinyl. And also we had a performance by Robin Fox, and he did a laser performance at the opening of October Contemporary. And then Stella Brennan, who's actually a New Zealand artist, her two video works of the blue screen and also the analog colour fields. So that was interesting, but it was also hard, you know, choosing some artists to come to, you know, to be shown at Videotage when you don't actually know the space. And it was quite, you know, soon. So it was very, I had to kind of suggest these artists quite quickly. But I think that it works well. And so, yeah, but it was good to actually come to Hong Kong and have something concrete, and that happened the first week that I was here, so it was very busy, and getting that show up, and
Have you heard anything, feedback about the show?
No, not really.
No?
No, I haven't.
And?
Is it, do people usually talk about, would that be?
I think that's probably the bad thing that we find in Hong Kong. That basically, you don't really find magazines here.
Mm.
Yeah, there are not many magazines. I mean, for those that hear me say, the Asian Art News would be the only one, which is in English, but it's not so well read by the local arts community, I guess. And that's always difficult. Sometimes I find it kind of indifference among, you know, the arts community here. But anyway, and I hope people would review it, because a lot of shows actually would end up without anyone writing anything here in Hong Kong. Have you found these things happening here?
Yeah, well, look, we're in a similar situation in Australia, that there's not enough writers, and a lot of shows don't get reviewed. There's always complaints about the quality of criticism, because you know you have the mainstream papers, and it seems the same people are always writing, and it's really hard to encourage young writers. It's not something that's really taught at university. So I can see the same thing happening here, that there's not that environment for criticism. But there seems to be a lot of street publications. But touching upon what's happening in the kind of more mainstream arts and performing arts, but not so much on, you know, that kind of more high quality arts. Right?
Yeah, so I think it's more about entertainment.
Yeah,
you get these listings and so on. And so have you met a lot of people here in Hong Kong?
Yeah, I have. It's taken a few weeks to kind of settle in and find my feet. And then 8 weeks isn't very long. So I do wish that I kind of had a few more weeks, because I kind of feel like I've just settled down and now I'm leaving. I think that I've touched base with, a lot of people that I wanted to meet. But one thing it's for people coming to Hong Kong is it's this crazy level of energy that is required to kind of sustain yourself in this city.
You mean it's the city?
Yeah, just the city. Mm. Yeah, so it's quite draining, actually. So those first few weeks is really just kind of cultural adjustment. Hong Kong's a city that just keeps you moving all the time, and in Australia, we're in that house for kind of taking a slower pace.
As a short-term resident here, what do you think about the scene here? Do you think there's an art scene here in Hong Kong?
I do think there's an art scene. It's a really small art scene. There's some good spaces. I've met some fantastic, dedicated people here. And I do think that, there's a lot of money in the arts, but it's probably being directed to specific art forms.
Yeah.
And I see there's a lot of possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's more young people willing to travel now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking to a lot of people, and they visited Documenta and went to Europe for the first time. So I think that as more people have the opportunity to travel, and I think that there's also a lot of opportunities to bring, there are spaces here for exhibitions to bring international shows in, and I know that Asia Link, they also have touring exhibitions, and they're keen to bring some shows into Hong Kong.
Really?
Yeah.
Haven't heard about that.
Oh, no, they have a really strong touring program. And they've toured mostly through Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an exhibition recently that actually came, a colleague of mine curated, and it was an IMA project called Streetworks, and it had Sean Gladwell's work in it. So he's one of Australia's leading video artists, and also Craig Walsh, who's a Brisbane-based artist, who very interesting work, and I think that it's a shame that show didn't actually come to Hong Kong, it went to Singapore,
I think it's, you know, diplomatic level that the Consulate General of Australia tried to do something like a Australian Week or something. I mean, mainly it's an art festival program here, but somehow we didn't really find very interesting previously. And also it was more like kind of, you know, loose program that, you know, somehow you have this picture galleries, and so at that month, and they show some paintings from Australia, or they try to somehow get the Australian artists at that moment, but I haven't really seen something very interesting. I hope that could happen soon.
No, actually, I saw, as I was walking through a building here in Wan Chai, some Torres Strait Islander prints that were in a foyer.
Yeah.
In a building, and I recognized them straight away, and I was with someone and they said, oh yeah, that's, you know, an exhibition that they've had here. Yeah, well, I mean, that's not really interesting because, of course, when it's taken out of its cultural context and it's exhibited in a foyer, they just become pretty prints, you know. But, I mean, you know, like an exhibition of some of our video artists and new media work would be quite interesting here. You know, there's a lot of touring, there's a big environment of touring exhibitions in Australia, and people are always exchanging. And even at the IMA, we work a lot with other galleries, and we send exhibitions over to New Zealand. And so there's a big focus on your not only your own gallery and program, but also exchanges with exhibitions and collaborations.
I think here in Hong Kong, probably there would be only Video Town, Shop Parasites, or a couple of commercial galleries which show really contemporary Australian art, but we have never seen anything, you know, in a museum, for example.
Well, I mean, I've seen some really, I know that, you know, rent is a premium here, and all the galleries are small. And that's one thing that I kind of had not expected. I'd forgotten, because, of course, in mainland China, there's massive spaces, and that people are working with really small spaces. But I've seen these galleries that, of course, there's are owned by businesses, and they're nice spaces. And I mean, the content that is going into them is not necessarily of high quality, but I see the spaces as quite interesting. And, you know, as a curator, I could see, you know, myself working in those spaces with the show.
By the way, have you seen the show of Julian Schlabel?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
I mean, if you're interested in space, it's amazing.
Isn't that at one of the commercial galleries? Is it?
Yes. I think, it's organized by 10 Chancellor Lane. But the space is not a gallery space. So it's a temporary space from industrial, you know, warehouse, something like that. And it's amazing.
Because that's what I've seen that since I've been here. I mean, the exhibition that Agnes B showed down at the old theatre.
That's,
I mean, that's a lovely space. So big. Wouldn't it, you know, to get your hands on something like that.
So this is what you mean by potential.
But not necessarily, you know. Oh, it's interesting, you know, of course, I've spoken to quite a lot of people about this, the Hong Kong thing of there's a bit of a mixed model for exhibitions, and that you go into these spaces and they're privately funded through business and bringing out some, and they're very sleek looking galleries, and the product, which I'd say is product because it's not necessarily contemporary art that's going into them. And I think that really sends a mixed message that you've got these, you know, large spaces producing so-called exhibitions. And then you've got the government-funded spaces struggling with small spaces trying to, you know, put on shows with really limited resources. And I just wonder, you know, when you've got younger generation of artists coming up, and you know, it really sends a confused message to them that is this what they should be doing in terms of, should an exhibition look like this? And yeah, that's a bit worrying.
Mm-hmm.
And I see sometimes in Australia a push for that too.
Really?
Yeah, to, you know, for galleries to work more with businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, ultimately it does kind of interfere with what you're actually programming. And, you know, we work quite a lot with having our space hired out for corporate events.
Yeah.
And we try our hardest, but, you know, in the end they want the space and they're not really that interested in what's on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes as a curator and
right.
programming person,
mm-hmm.
that you work really hard to show high quality exhibitions, and then
right.
when it's kind of compromised
mm-hmm.
by people that don't necessarily understand how important that is, and it's not just a space that
mm-hmm.
you walk into and these are nice pictures that you can buy and hang on your walls, or, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it's yeah, it can be frustrating.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, but it happens here
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah,
you know.
It's the whole thing too of it's a where design and art finish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I see that happening in Hong Kong, that art just becomes something that you can buy to add to your you know, your fashion credibility or something
right.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you also spent a side trip to Beijing this time.
Yeah, I went over to Beijing. I've been there a few years ago.
Right.
And it's changed so much. It's really interesting. That was
mm-hmm.
only like not even 3 years ago that
mm-hmm.
I was there. And I got to see the Ullins Centre
yeah. mm-hmm.
and the exhibition that they've got on 85 New Wave.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
Mm-hmm.
And an amazing space yet
yeah.
again. I did feel that maybe I had missed the point of the exhibition a little bit because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, ultimately I'm not a curator of Asian art.
Right.
And so while I know a lot of the artists that were in that
mm-hmm.
exhibition, I don't know too much about,
mm.
You know, what was happening in the art scene in the 80s and early 90s. So it was good to see that and
mm-hmm.
what was written about
mm-hmm.
In the didactics and that, but I still think that it was for a particular audience, that show.
I think that's pretty important in a way, because, you know, Chinese art is so hot
mm.
and everybody's looking at what's happening now.
Mm.
And, you know, the 80s was really the time everybody was struggling.
Mm.
And that's also an interesting point there, because all this work that basically we probably have seen somewhere in the catalog, you know, at a very bad quality
mm.
reproductions, and now they're trying to, you know, bring back live. And I found that's very much historical significance
yeah.
in it that I enjoy, actually.
Yeah, placing it within the context
yeah.
and seeing how. What was interesting to see early works that I've never seen, like of Zhang Peili's,
yes.
The development and the very fast development
mm.
too of the art scene in China.
Right.
What I was trying to say before
mm.
is it's like someone coming to Australia and seeing an exhibition of the Angry Penguins or something, you know, early Australian work where, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
really what that period of time was, where Australia
right.
art scene made its own identity
mm-hmm.
internationally. And I think that sometimes, yeah, coming as from a different cultural perspective
mm-hmm.
that you miss a lot
mm-hmm.
of that, and that's what I just felt, that if anything, it opened up so many questions for me,
mm-hmm.
that exhibition 85 New Wave, yeah,
mm-hmm.
then it probably answered for me,
mm-hmm.
but it just shows my lack of probably understanding more than the exhibition. Yeah.
Yeah, what kind of impression you got from Beijing?
The impression I got from Beijing is that I'm worried that it's just developing so quickly. It
mm.
wasn't the city that it was 3 years ago. the landscape has changed so much, literally, all the landscaping that has happened. And when I was there the first few days, it was this amazing, clear, beautiful sky. And so I've always enjoyed Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of Canberra in Australia with the big roads. And
right.
I mean, I just, you know, all the hutongs have been knocked down, and there's these big buildings. And I was wondering, I just had this sense that it had been sterilized so much.
Mm.
And I just questioned kind of, it actually made me start questioning, was I seeing things in what I remember 3 years ago? Was that actually what I saw? Because the city was a lot more, it just had a different feel to it.
Mm.
So in that respect, it was really good to go back and see that. I mean, there's so many galleries that have opened up now.
Mm.
That's pretty extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly a lot to see. Unfortunately, I didn't get the opportunity to go back to Shanghai, which I wish I had of. But I'll have to save that for another visit.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that all sounds good. And yeah, thank you so much, Vanessa.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I hope to see you soon.
Okay.
Bye.